Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin.
And Steve. No, wait, Jim. Carol, no. No, my name is Isaac. Hello.
But Steve is your go-to makeup name.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes when we feel like playing Munchkin and it's just the two of us, you need at least three or four people. And we just both come up with a second alias. So it's Isaac and Steve. So he plays two characters. And then it's me. And sometimes my go-to is Pookie because Pookie sounds funny. That was a side tangent. Hello. Welcome back. If you are still listening to the Bingeables podcast, we appreciate your dedication and your time.
And if you've just found us, welcome.
And that too. By the time I publish this, it'll be like June, the first week of June or something. So it's been a while since our last episode. Our last one was with Joe from Putting on Airs podcast. She guested and we talked about Bob's Burgers. That was back in March. So it's been a good 2 months. But technically we recorded a little earlier with her, so it's been 3 months. Because we recorded like middle to end of February, so we could get ahead of schedule.
And also to you future listeners out there, the year is 2021.
Yes, the year is 2021, where, you know, things are opening up and, you know, a good amount of people are vaccinated against the first variant of the coronavirus.
Yeah, so, you know, in case the world is destroyed, you'll have a little bit of context from this particular podcast episode.
But we are confident to say that the world will not be destroyed by Dracula.
Nope. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
So just a little explanation if anyone is curious, at least with what I'm comfortable with sharing. So, you know, life happens and, well, it wasn't just life, but like I was kind of getting tired of keeping up with Twitter because if you're not constantly engaging on Twitter, like you lose engagement pretty fast. So it was getting tiring, kind of just managing the Twitter account for the Bingeables podcast, and I was tired of that, and like I was just kind of tired of podcast Twitter in general. And then of course middle of March is when we had more hate crimes against the Asian American and Pacific Islander community, so that was tough on me personally as well, and I just needed a break from Twitter because no one seemed to care about AAPI lives, so that was tough on me mentally, and you know, we just had other things come up too in our lives, but we definitely do want to talk about this show, Castlevania Season 4. So, we've covered the first three seasons before, so if you haven't watched Season 4, we highly recommend you do that. It was like, what, 10 episodes? And it premiered on Netflix on May 13th, 2021.
And of course, there will be spoilers ahead.
Spoilers!
No.
You know. So before we dive into things, I just want to introduce some of the new characters and their respective voice actors. So first we have Malcolm McDowell, who voices this character Varney. Varney is another vampire character, and he claims to have gone to London and then came back to take Targo Vista for Dracula.
Yeah, I don't know that he like went to London. Like, it seems like he was from there.
Oh, okay, that could have been it too.
Yeah.
But Malcolm McDowell, he's a really popular pop culture actor. I mean, he was in a Bloodwork Orange. For geeks who are closer to, I guess, my age or Isaac's age, if you weren't really into old Hollywood movies, he was in that Star Trek Generations movie, which you showed me.
I did.
Yeah, after I finished watching the series.
Yes. I mean, because that's how it happened chronologically.
He was the guy looking for that galaxy ribbon.
Oh, okay. So he was the main antagonist in Star Trek Generations. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He also was on an episode of South Park as himself. Well, sort of. He was a live action version of himself. And he's like, hello, I'm a British person.
Oh, man.
It was an episode where they do Great Expectations, but with the character Pip. And he narrates the episode.
I do like his voice. He's got a good voice. Mm-hmm. I would like to listen to him do some audiobook narrations. Next up, we have Titus Welliver. He voiced the character Ratko. And I've seen his face, but I know he's currently the main guy in that show, Bosch.
I've only seen the title, like, of the show. Like, as a graphic, I can't place the face either.
Okay, well, it's fine. Next, we have Tox Olangu Doye. I hope I said that right. I probably didn't. She voices the character Zomfir. Why is it so close to vampire? It feels like they're playing word tricks on me. She's the woman who is who is defending these two dead royals.
Oh, she's that lady. Okay.
Yeah. So this voice actress, she's been on DuckTales, Carmen Sandiego, and Star Trek Lower Decks.
Ooh, is she
I'm not sure who she played on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Because I like that show.
I know, we covered it.
Just want people to know I like that show.
Mm-hmm. Marcia Thomason voiced Greta of Dynasty. She was really cool. Could really hold her own against night creatures and all. And I think Greta was supposed to be it didn't come off this way to me at first, but she's like Alucard's love interest.
Yeah, they kind of set it up that way a little bit.
Yeah. Marcia has been in Lost, Bones, and The Good Doctor. And last but not least, to wrap up the new voice actors, we have Christine Adams, who voices The Alchemist. The Alchemist is a character who comes up in the... what was the name of that realm?
Infinite Corridor.
Infinite Corridor, right. Right, yeah. And then Christine Adams is currently in the show Black Lightning.
I hope that rings a bell to some of our listeners. I have no idea what that show is.
It's a superhero show on the CW that is an all-black cast.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know much about it either, but they're going on like 5 seasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so now we're going to dive into the meat of Castlevania Season 4. I don't have a whole lot in terms of an outline. I just wrote a few notes of at least things that I liked. But okay. Isaac, I've been talking a lot, so I'll let you take it over.
Okay, well...
And, you know, you can talk about whatever if you want to talk about things that you didn't like or things that didn't make sense first.
Oh, okay, sure. Because I see that in our outline, there's nothing there for stuff we didn't like.
I got lazy.
It's interesting because we've watched this show for 4 seasons now. And I would say there's only one thing that I can think of that I didn't like. And that was sort of the treatment of Isaac and Hector. by the writers, I guess. I feel like Isaac and Hector had been on a journey over the last three seasons, and they were sort of just, well,
technically two seasons, because they were introduced in season two.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually.
Because the first season was only four episodes, and I was like, how is this only four episodes?
I didn't even, like, when I was watching, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, when I was watching, I didn't even notice that, like, a season had passed. I was just like, huh, this is a great season. Is there a season? I'm in season two. Oh, okay. What was season one? Yeah, actually, so I guess it's only been over three seasons. I feel like they were just starting. Well, Hector, I feel like
Hector did a lot of growing up in between season three and four, because when we last saw him in season three, he was just like baffled that he had been used again. And then at the beginning of season four, he's like, okay, I'm like all caught up out. I'm all caught up now, and I'm in a scheme.
I feel like Hector's story actually makes more sense than Isaac's story. At least from where he is at the end, kind of. Like, I am not surprised that he was, like, planting things around the castle to destroy Carmilla. That makes sense that he would want revenge against her for essentially, you know, turning him into a slave. I think that in the end, when he and Isaac are talking about what they want to do with their lives, and he's just like, well, I just want to be with Lenore in a library. I really don't want to do anything else. Like, that makes sense to me. But with Isaac, like, at first his life is saved by Dracula by being thrown into the desert through the mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts building an army of night creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that, he meets a guy on a boat. And in talking with that guy, it seems like he starts to become just a little bit more human. Because while he's technically human this whole time, he's, you know, been actively working against humans and kind of hates them, which is why he's willing to go along with Dracula's
plan to begin with.
Yeah, proposal to eliminate all humans.
Mm-hmm.
So he meets this guy on the boat, and he seems to be, you know, more, a little more human after that interaction. But then he arrives at the city after the boat, and
you mean that deserted area?
Yeah.
It looked kind of like the Middle East.
I mean,
yeah. I don't know geographically where that was.
If I was going to guess,
but it's close to a desert.
I would say that he probably, like, he was probably thrown into North Africa somewhere.
Oh.
At first. And then as he's traveling, he ends up probably at a port in Egypt or something. And and the boat probably goes to, like, Turkey.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, you know, then he fights this guy that's enslaved an entire city and turned them all into creatures, and he takes over the city, and then starts building the city, and that's where we catch up to him in season four. And then his goal seems to be, and this is sort of just a fake out from the writers, his goal seems to be to take care of Hector, and by take care of, I mean kill, because Hector had betrayed him. But then when the opportunity arrives, he shows, you know, great sort of, suddenly he seems a lot more wise, and I don't understand where he got this wisdom from, because he's suddenly like, I don't need revenge. I see that Carmilla is, you know, not good for humans, and so she should probably be killed, but I'm not doing this out of revenge for Dracula or anything. I'm doing my own thing. I want to build a good kingdom, which is sort of a strange thing, I think, like, for his motivations. And that's, I guess, it seems a little too fast for me. And that's the one sort of criticism, I guess, I have of this season.
And also, he's building a new kingdom with night creatures. With night creatures, you know, right. Like, it's not for humans. It's for night creatures.
It's very... well, I don't know that it's for night creatures. It's just that he has night creatures. Mm. I feel... And so, yeah, the real problem that I have is I feel like Isaac and Hector's story sort of got short shrift. Like, they weren't the main characters, and they didn't have anything to do, really, with the main plot.
Yeah, yeah. Because they got their own subplots in season 3 after Dracula's death.
Right.
So, yeah, I understand what you're saying now. They just, they didn't get enough time to really pan things out for their characters right. The way you think they should have done it.
And I mean...
Which makes sense. It happens in a lot of shows.
Right. And it seems like their story was also sort of an afterthought or secondary to in production. I say that because when Isaac attacks Striga, is that the
Striga and Morana? They're the other two vampire women.
Sorry, whatever the name of the castle is that Carmilla's in, when he attacks there,
Styria.
Yeah. Okay. When he attacks there, the animators are, you can tell they're taking a lot of shortcuts in order not to have to animate as much. Like,
you noticed that. I didn't.
Oh, like the backgrounds are suddenly all 3D so that all they have to do is animate the one character on screen. And there's just a lot of rotation so that.
Is this a criticism? I can't tell.
It's kind of a criticism. It's just that, like, it's another, like. It's more evidence that the story of Isaac and Hector was sort of put to the wayside production-wise. It was like, oh, right, we got to wrap that up. Let's do something.
Okay.
And so I feel like...
You have an eye for catching that animation stuff, but, like, I don't. So it's very interesting to hear you point out these things. Well, but,
it was especially apparent when, like, an episode later... with Belmont and Belnades and
Alucard,
like, they didn't take those same shortcuts. Like, they did take the time to animate those things very smoothly. So it's that's what really drove it home. I was like, huh, that looked cheap, but maybe that's just a style they're going for. And then the next episode, I'm like, no, that was not a style they were going for. It was a
strategic
decision on resources.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, this is somewhat off topic but related. There's a art book of Castlevania that's gonna come out in the fall, I think, and you can, like, pre-order it now. And I wonder if it's got, like, art production notes and stuff like that. I'm curious how on the point you are.
Oh yeah, we'll never know because we're not popular enough to get interviews with those folks. But
yeah, you know, one can dream. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Isaac did become very zen.
Yeah, like, but almost overnight. I mean...
It happened overnight, and I think the writers, I don't know, like, him having been introduced to some people of wisdom in season 3, like, that's supposed to help us ease into the transition of him being zen in season 4. It didn't work.
Yeah, so, and it could also be that the writers actually had stuff for that, but just animation timelines, they're like, we don't have time to animate that, so let's...
And maybe it was also the fact that there's only 4 seasons. This is the final season.
Yeah, this was it.
But we know there's going to be a potential spinoff for Castlevania. So who knows which character they'll focus on.
And some of you might be going, man, the things that you don't like, they're pretty nitpicky. And that just, like, that's because this show is actually pretty good. Like, there's not a whole lot to complain about.
Also, like, you're... I feel like that's also part of your personality and just how you analyze TV and movies. That is something you pick up on.
Yeah.
Which makes you special.
I guess. I don't know about special, but it makes me a little different, I guess. Plus, people love negative criticism. That's what sells. If we just titled all of our episodes like the Bingeables podcast rips apart Castlevania season 4, people would flock to it, but that's not what we do.
If we made a YouTube video, people would definitely flock to it.
Yeah. But I mean, that wouldn't be a very long video because there's not a whole lot to on this. I mean, I didn't watch it super in depth like the guy that does pitch meetings, but
let's see.
Okay, so that was the stuff I didn't like. Was there anything that you didn't like that you can think of?
There was one thing I sort of didn't like, but I'm not going to harp on it for very long. Okay. Because I think it just kind of worked out this way.
Okay.
I don't think this was meant to be intentional. But Carmilla commits suicide, and she does it because, you know, she's got too much pride and she doesn't obviously she doesn't want other people to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want Isaac, a fucking human, to kill her, a vampire who's been around for hundreds of years.
Right. She doesn't want to give them the satisfaction. She wants, like, it's her own exertion of power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Carmilla's suicide made sense. And I was not bothered by that at all. It's her character. They thought it through for her character. It makes sense. For Lenore, because she also commits suicide, and I was just, like, I was just very honed in on the fact that two characters committed suicide.
Well,
and they're both females.
I see.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I think Lenore's fit her character as well. Like, she...
You explained it to me when I brought it up, just, you know, when we were watching it. But,
yeah. Because I feel like she liked the group that they had and liked having, you know, the castle and stuff. And she liked that life, and that life is no longer possible. And
plus, she was technically prisoner.
She's a prisoner, right.
Because Isaac, Carmilla killed herself, which means Isaac now has control of the castle, which means Lenore, who was on Carmilla's side, is now a prisoner. So, you know, she's not going to want to stick around.
Right. She doesn't. She has no desire to be a prisoner for the rest of her days. I mean, technically, she was a prisoner for the rest of her days. Her days were just short. Okay.
But her death scene was pretty. I liked how her, when the sun came up and her body just turned into ashes so elegantly.
I liked that her last words were something along the lines of, like, is that it? Is that what all the fuss is about, when she's seeing the sunrise for the first time?
Mm-hmm. That was nice. But yeah, I guess that was something I didn't like, but... I don't think they were trying to be, like, intentional about...
Yeah, I think that just happened to be, like,
yeah,
those characters, that's how they would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, even if Lenore wanted to escape, like, realistically, she would still be dead, because knowing Isaac, like, his night creatures, they would just kill her.
Right.
Because, like, who knows, if she did escape and went out somewhere, like, Isaac would be wondering, oh, is she going to start up another kingdom? Is she going to have an army of night creatures like me?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if that had been the route that the writers took, there could have been a season 5. But then we're kind of getting away from the original Dracula stuff.
Well, so up until... the last episode, I thought that there was going to be a season 5.
Did you read something online, or?
No. Just based on the way they were setting things up, I thought that Dracula was going to get resummoned. And then the trio would have to probably ally with Hector and Isaac next season to defeat Dracula. But then it would turn out to be set up by the creature that calls itself Death, which they introduced this season, right? And then they would, the next season, in season 6, defeat Death. And that's what I expected up to episode 10 of season 4. And then, you know, while watching it, obviously it's like, oh, well, they're ending it right here, because this is clearly, like, I thought the last episode where Belmont fights the death creature, I'm like, this looks exactly like a video game. They're setting this up like a video game. This looks like a video game impasse. It was really nice. I haven't played the Castlevania games, so I don't know, but it's possible that they were referencing one of the games. Though the timeline, I think we've discussed this previously, that the timeline was set for only one or two of the games. So they may have borrowed from a different one. I don't know. Let us know in the comments. I don't know that we have comments. That's a thing I hear all the time these days. Let us know in the comments.
That's for you too.
I know.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You said something and I think it was a good... Oh, Death. Okay, that's a good segue. Because I was confused at first. I liked the twist with Varney. But I think...
Oh, that was really good. Because, like, he's set up this whole time as, like, you're not really sure if he's serious or not. But, like, some people are like, oh, yeah, Varney, that guy. And some people are like, Varney might be, like... you know, legitimately what he says he is, but, you know, as the audience, you're like, probably not, though, because he's always announcing himself, like, I'm Varney, come on, guys, listen to me, I came here to deliver Targovishta to Dracula. He'd probably said that, like, 5 times.
And that indication made you think it wasn't who, he wasn't actually Varney?
No.
Or Varney was made up?
No, it made me think that Varney was grandstanding. Like,
what does that mean?
It means, like, he wasn't actually sent there to take Targovishta for Dracula. Dracula just sent him away, and he was like, okay, well, I'll make up my own mission, and I'll say that this is what it is. He was building himself up so that other people would respect him. That was... the vibe I was getting, and I think that's what the writers intended for me to feel. So then, yeah, when he turns out to be the creature that calls itself Death, that was good. I was like, oh, nice, because I thought he was just like at the very most he was the powerful vampire that he said he was, and at the least I, you know, expected him to just be some random ass vampire that was pretending to be more than he was.
At the most, I was expecting Varney to just be another big bad of the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned out to be.
Oh, yeah. Just not.
just not in the way you expected.
Another big bad, which I liked. I guess for listeners who watched season 4, and maybe some of them were confused like me, I'll have you explain it again. But Varney turned out to be this being who called itself Death, but was not actually Death.
Right.
He's not a Grim Reaper. He just kind of looks like one.
Well, no, he is the Grim Reaper.
He is the Grim
Reaper? Yeah.
Damn it, I'm confused again.
Because he's the Grim Reaper because that's what the Grim Reaper is it this entity that goes...
They take souls.
Yeah, but he feeds off of souls that, you know, come out when people die. And people have seen him in the past, and he's always around where Death is, so people associated him with Death, and then he took on the mantle as naming himself Death, but he's not Death. He's just something that eats souls. But the imagery of what he looks like with his scythe and the skeleton and everything, that got intertwined with the process of Death, and so that's how the two get confused.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I loved Barney. I loved Barney and Death. Death even more, because that twist was excellent. Also, and I kind of get what you meant when it looked like when Belmont was fighting quote-unquote Death, like, he grew in size. He turned into a giant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the video game aspect.
Which is, yeah, the kind of thing that happens, especially in, like, the 8-bit and 16-bit games. Like you're this little dude on the screen, and then suddenly you're fighting a giant skeleton. So, yeah, and, like, with floating platforms that came out of nowhere and shit. Like, that's exactly how a video, like, that's video game logic for you. It's like, oh, yeah, of course there's platforms. Why wouldn't there be? And... yeah, I have to hit him with my whip 3 times, and then I have to, you know, dodge this thing. And after I've hit him 3 times, he goes through a transformation and, you know, into his final form. And then I can finally do some actual damage to him. Yeah, it's a... the whole thing played really well, like a video game adaptation, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know if that was the production team's goal. I hope it was, because it was done very, very well.
They succeeded.
Yeah. if it wasn't, you know, bonus. But I really hope that that was their intention.
So other things that I liked. I mean, we already talked about Hector and Isaac a lot. But I liked that they reconciled. And
yeah, kind of nice.
Evolved as human beings.
Right.
Even though you felt Isaac's evolution was too fast.
Right. I felt like they got there fast, but I did like the resolution. I liked sort of how they ended up.
Yeah. And then, of course, Alucard has peace, right? Like, at the end of season 3, it looked like he was going to go down this dark rabbit hole. After what... damn it, I forgot those two characters' names. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, when he got betrayed by those two people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, he found a purpose, and people looked up to him as, like, a savior. And I think it worked out for him because it helped him find more humanity in himself, because things got really dark for him last season.
Right. Now that he's not alone. And I think that was part of it, you know, last season.
Like, he was very lonely.
He was all alone. Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, so, yeah, I liked the wrapping up of his story.
And then, I'm going to skip that bullet point really fast. Okay. So I was happy with Sypha and Trevor ending up having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually have the baby. She's just pregnant. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, like if...
It was a plus, but I wasn't expecting it.
I feel like the whole series wrapped up really well.
Yeah, pretty much everybody's endings made sense.
Except for... Dracula and Lisa. Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, you just jumped there. Okay, let me say this really quick.
Sure.
I would have been okay with Trevor being dead.
Me too.
Well, because they brought him back, like, really last minute in the horse, and I'm just like, okay, so he's alive. Yay!
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, I'm happy that that happened because Sypha is happy again, because they went 2 weeks.
Right.
It was 2 weeks after his death, and she was all depressed and stuff and was going to go back to her family.
Right.
I would have been okay if it just ended that way, if Trevor was actually dead.
Yeah.
Him
sort
coming,
of making a sacrifice or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, you kind of expect that for protagonists, right? In a lot of stories like this, a protagonist will make sacrifices, such as his or her life, for the greater good.
Right.
And I would have been okay with that for Trevor, because he did go out quite beautifully.
Yeah.
Animation style-wise. But him coming back, you know, I'm not gonna nitpick about it. I think it worked out for Sypha, of course, and, you know, they're gonna have a kid, so, you know, he's gonna be around to make sure that she doesn't just name it Trevor.
I was wondering, it was strange, because when he was like, saying goodbye to her, essentially. He's like, just remember, Trefor is a terrible name. And I was like, what is that about? And I was like, I guess she'll name things in the future, and he just doesn't want them to be named Trefor? Okay. Weird. I did not pick up on, like, oh, she might be pregnant. Yeah, did not cross my mind.
I don't think it crossed her mind either that she was pregnant.
Oh.
At least it didn't look like that to me.
Oh. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it. I bet her facial reaction was actually something like, oh, I understand, or whatever.
Trefor. I would never name a kid that.
And so, now, speaking of Trevor's death, I feel like the dialogue was very hand-wavy about what happened. Like, how did you survive? Ah, don't worry about it. Or like, it's just this thing. I fell and I woke up. Everything's fine.
I jumped into the infinite corridor because Saint Germain left it open.
Yeah. And then somehow ended up somewhere else. Very, like...
He ended up in the Danube River.
Oh, yeah, in the Danube.
Yeah, and then it took him 2 weeks to get back to... Where was it?
Yeah, I don't know where the Belmont Estate is. I would hope somewhere in Germany, because if not, goodness, he went a long way.
But yeah, mostly everyone's endings made sense. We'll come back to Dracula and Lisa now, because...
Speaking of hand wavy, yeah.
Go on.
So speaking of hand wavy, suddenly Dracula and Lisa are back, right? And it's like, well, how did we get here? I don't know. And it's like, well, to the audience, it's like, you're just supposed to accept it. Like, they don't know and they're not going to worry about it. And that was the little foreshadowing that I did at the beginning of the episode here, where you said, the world's not going to be destroyed by Dracula. I'm like, well, Dracula's alive, so he still could destroy the world. but it is like,
so okay.
If you're looking for a happy ending, this is one. Like, Dracula and Lisa are now, well,
they're still together. They're just no longer in hell.
Yeah, they're together. They're in the world. They're gonna do some traveling. Dracula's gonna take up the name Vlad.
Wasn't his name already Vlad?
His name was already Vlad Dracula Tepish. I don't...
Right? That...
If you're Vlad Tepish, like, that's... I don't feel like that's going to be a common enough name where people will go, oh, like that one dude. Okay.
Also, if you're going to disguise yourself, like, you should have just chosen a new name, and you should have, like, trimmed your nails because they're so fucking long.
Right.
Like, you've got the vampire nails. People are going to know that you're a vampire.
You're a damn giveaway as a vampire. What is going on here?
Yeah. And, you know, get a haircut, man.
Hippie.
Oh. But, yeah, I like them coming back. What I did not like was that we never got an explanation of how they came back. Because, you know,
right.
Saint Germain took their souls out from hell and put it in that Rebus doll. But, like, the Rebus doll was destroyed, so their souls were released. So, because, you know, you can't just put two souls in one doll. Come
on. I thought at the time it was a little strange that death didn't just immediately eat them once they were out.
Maybe I
figured he thought, well, if they're out, they're just going to go right back to hell. So I'll just resummon them again. I'll use somebody else and try this whole
wasn't
thing.
Wasn't death
over
just
again.
Absorbing souls, though?
Yes.
Like.
Okay, but their souls got put into the Rebus, right?
But when the Rebus got destroyed, their souls
were
out.
Released, yeah. Right? So I would have assumed he would have gone.
I know, but
let me noms on those because now they're free, and I can't use them in the Rebus anymore.
But wouldn't animation wise, wouldn't the souls just have been absorbed? Because death was our.
Well, I don't think he. No, he wasn't absorbing souls. It was the.
The infinite corridor.
It was the key.
The key.
that was absorbing the souls. Well, the key in the spell that they were using to... They took all those souls. They needed all that soul energy to grab those two specific souls from hell and fuse them into that Rebus body. That's what was absorbing all those dead people's souls. It wasn't death.
Okay, I got confused. Yeah, so their souls were released from the Rebus.
And then somehow put into, you know, exact lookalike bodies somewhere on Earth, and then...
Yeah, that was never explained, because Lisa's body was turned to ash.
Yeah.
And Dracula, his...
And I think the writers, you know, specifically went, like, had her ask the question, or him ask the question, like, how did we even get here? And it's like, I don't know. They're trying to tell the audience, like, don't worry about it. We're just trying to give you a happy ending.
I mean, it worked, but...
Right? It's like, well, it was nice, but it would have been nice, a little nicer, if you had even come up with some sort of contrived reason as to why they're there.
I am a little sad that they're not going to see Alucard anymore.
I'm not. I feel like in order to let Alucard become his own person, he needs to not, you know, be in the shadow of his father. And so I think it would be best for him to not know that they're alive and about. Because I feel like, you know, he's at this point, he's processed their deaths and he's moved on to sort of trying to create something, like create
his own future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that. I guess, you know, like, he didn't want to kill his dad. He had to.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's kind of where I was coming from. It made me a little sad that they'll never have the chance to kind of just meet and reconcile.
They didn't say that they would never see him. They just said that they wouldn't do it immediately. I got the impression that they would see him at some point in the future. Like, far in the future. Like, 20 years from now or something. But not now.
No, right now they're going to go up to the Netherlands. Was it the Netherlands?
I actually don't remember where they said they were going.
It's been a few days since we finished watching the show.
Sorry, everyone.
They just checked into this inn and just went to bed, and it was raining, and then they decided to go to sleep.
Yeah, like people. You know... That's an interesting question. Is he still a vampire?
I would assume so.
Which would mean that he needs to, like, be traveling at night, because he can't go traveling during the day.
Oh, that's right.
Like, they would have to sleep during the day and travel at night, which is kind of a shitty way to see the world, but it's not terrible, I guess.
I mean... Paris looks pretty at night, but I'm just referring
now that
to,
there's electricity.
I'm just, you know, thinking of, like, pictures I've seen, because, you know, the Eiffel Tower is really pretty.
Because like, didn't we establish that this was like late 1400s or something?
Oh right.
There's no electricity, so like it's all torches everywhere if there's going to be any light.
Oh right. But yeah, that was Castlevania season 4. Excellent endings, for the most part. The series as a whole, like, honestly, I think I'm just gonna add the DVDs to our wedding registry. I like this enough. I would like to own the DVDs.
I wonder if Netflix...
Well, season 4 just came out, so they're not gonna have a season 4 DVD box yet, but and 2 for sure.
If Netflix, they could, because... they made the show, but I also think that they wouldn't have it just so that they can keep people subscribed, so that they're able to watch the show.
I'm pretty sure they have DVDs.
Okay. We'll have to see.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a quick Google search right now.
Okay.
See? Castlevania DVDs, season 1.
Okay.
Well, and Blu-ray.
Well, of course, Blu-ray. No one's buying DVDs anymore.
Oh, geez. Thank you for aging me.
For aging you? You're 10 years younger than me. Or 9. But still.
Oh, they do have season 3. Okay, so yeah,
but they wouldn't have. They should have season four already. Since they should have, they would have been able. They would have been ready to print Blu-rays as soon as it was ready to be streamed.
Okay, yeah, whatever. But yeah, I really love the show, and I would love to own it. So yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I feel like this series was good from start to finish.
Was there anything you wanted to talk about Saint Germain? We only mentioned him once.
Oh,
did you like that he was brought back? Not brought back, but did you like that he never died in season three, but that his character reappeared again in season four? Because yes. It looked like in season three he was just stuck in the infinite corridor.
Yes, I did like that. I did like that, and I, they left, like, he still, you know, never saw the woman that he was looking for.
Well, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never got what he wanted, and he worked a long time. He worked his ass off, man.
And traded all of his morals and everything.
He worked his ass off.
Like, he was like, I guess I will have to kill all of these people to be able to see her again. You know, it's interesting, these sort of Faustian bargains that happen. It's like, if you have to betray who you are to get the thing that you want, especially if the thing that you want is for a person, is to, you know, see a person again,
mm-hmm.
you have to consider, will the person like what you've become because of your Faustian bargain?
That's a very good theme to discuss, and it's very common.
So I think that that's sort of a lesson to be learned. Like, if you're going to trade in your morals for a goal, like, will the goal matter anymore after you've traded in your morals? And a lot of times the answer is no, because, like, you've given everything up, and like, the goal no longer, like, for, in this case, you know, the woman that Saint Germain was after, like, I don't think she would like who he became to see her. Like, she would not like the fact that he killed so many people just to get into the infinite corridor.
But then why does she slip him that little Chloe rainbow effervescent rock? Didn't she give that to him in season three?
Yeah, but he hadn't betrayed all of his morals yet in season three.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, he did that throughout season four.
Yeah, that was tough, because a lot of innocents died because of him.
Yeah.
Those civilians of Dynasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, there's still enough Dynastians at the end of all of that to start a little village.
Yeah, their numbers, like, the numbers of people in that village is very weird. It was like there were, like, you know,
thousands.
It was like there were 30 when Alucard got there, and then there were like 15 that made it to the castle, but then there were suddenly hundreds defending the castle and dying outside.
I mean, depending on the rapid speed, depending on the speed of death and how many souls it looked like were going into that key, that's why I jokingly said thousands.
Yeah.
Because it started out very small and then it just grew very, very fast.
Yeah. And oh, that would be okay. And you just reminded me, the one other thing that made no sense was why any of the villagers from Dynasty were outside to defend the castle at any point.
Oh, you were upset. They set up camp outside the...
Yeah, I'm like, there's hundreds of rooms in that castle. Everyone just grab a room, lock the doors, and, you know, tell the demons to fuck off. Like, there's no reason to be outside to fight them. And, you know, when they started to pull inside, I was like, oh, well, maybe they have a plan. And they're, like, they're setting things up. And the whole idea was to fall back inside for their big thing. And then Alucard's just like, throw some heavy shit against the door. I'm like, oh, so you don't have a plan. There was no reason anyone should have been outside. How are you guys so bad at this? Okay, that's it. I'm good.
Okay, well, I'm very happy with the show overall, so I think that's a good wrap. Yeah, so I guess I'm not sure when we'll record the next one, just because we're still like...
Until next time.
We're still, like, figuring stuff out, so if we do still have a bunch of loyal listeners, I apologize. You know, we're just not going to do it consistently.
Let's be honest, this is going to be super popular in like 50 years. So you guys don't care when we record again. You'll just be happy that there's another recording at some point.
Or maybe it'll be popular in September after our wedding party.
Oh, maybe. We'll see.
I have so much swag to just give out. All right. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.